Tango Tango Papa 1953, March 5th, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Manchester, Tennessee. So, after I unloaded in Chicago, I ended up picking up another load in Chicago at a different place. And that load has two drops. The first drop delivers in Kennesaw, Georgia. And then the final drop goes to Cottonwood, Alabama, which I believe is down by Dothan. So, Dothan, Alabama. So, I have made it to Manchester, Tennessee. And so, I've still got, I don't know, let's say 170 some odd miles to drive to make it to Kennesaw, Georgia, where the first drop unloads at. But it doesn't unload until Monday afternoon, I think at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe, Eastern time. So today was Saturday, so I've got basically all day tomorrow to drive the 170-odd miles. So what I'll probably do is go hang out at the company terminal in Marietta. Just kind of hang out there until it's time to deliver the load in Kennesaw on Monday afternoon. So earlier today, where was I at? I believe it was Franklin, Kentucky. Early this evening, I stopped there to eat, and it's Flying J, and of course there's Denny's in there. And so I pulled into the parking lot, and I was partway through the parking lot heading to the back where there's some empty parking spots. And without my foot being on the brake at all or doing anything with the brakes, all of a sudden I started hearing this air leaking noise out of the dash. And I could see that the air pressure was dropping a little bit, or the air compressor was kind of keeping up with it, but not much more than keeping up with it. So I was able to go ahead and park, and then I determined that I did have a problem, and so I immediately sent the breakdown department a message, telling them, kind of explaining to them what the problem was, exactly just what I just explained now, that all of a sudden it just started leaking, making a leaking noise from the dash. And so I parked, and then I went inside the Denny's and ordered my food. And while I was in there, my phone rang, and so I answered it, and it was the breakdown department had called there was a Petro truck stop that's somewhere around there. I think it's like one exit up or something. But there is a Petro truck stop right in that area, in the Franklin, Kentucky area. And so, or Petro shop. So anyway, the guy came, and so I was able to, I'd already ordered my food, and so they brought my food, and when I was talking to him. And so I went ahead and finished eating my food, and then went back out to the truck, and then a few minutes later he came, and then we were able to determine that the air brake chambers had something had, you know, gone wrong with it, obviously, and it was losing air. That's where the air leak was. You could hear it really strong out there by the one of the back wheels on the passenger side. And so he had brought different valves, and so he had the parts with him to fix it, and so he fixed it. And so that got fixed pretty quick, because there's been a lot of times where the truck breaks down and there's a fairly long delay. So he got it fixed, and then I could have spent the night there, but I didn't really want to spend the night in that Flying J, because it's one of those where they've got too much, they're trying to cram too many trucks into too small of a space, and I just, you know, in a truck stop like that, you're just kind of asking for problems, potential problems. And so, being that it was Saturday evening, I figured that, I might as well just, and I still had time to drive, I might as well leave there and come to a place where there's less chance of getting backed into. So that's what I did. So I came, there's a place here, it's called Busy Corner Truck Stop, and it's just a little fuel stop, basically. But it's, and it doesn't have a whole lot of parking, but there's a space or two left, and so I was able to park once I got here. And so that's where I'm spending the night at. And then like I say, then tomorrow when I leave here, I've got about 100 and, I don't know, let's say 175 miles or what have you. And that's to the place in Kennesaw. But like I say, I'll go to the company yard and just probably hang out there. So my truck is going to need, it's the AA service is becoming due. So at some point, I'll go in and talk to them probably at the shop tomorrow, and there might be an outside chance, kind of a remote chance, that they might be able to work on it tomorrow. But if they can't, then I'll just go ahead and deliver the load in, or the part of the load in Kennesaw, and then take the rest of it to down to Cottonwood, Alabama. And then remind them again that I need, the truck needs a service done to it, and then they can kind of take it from there. So, it might have been such a thing, if I could have got there late tonight, then I could go into the shop early, when they open up early in the morning, and I might have a better chance of getting the truck worked on. But maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. Usually those shops are fairly busy as a rule, and there's a kind of a waiting list, and so the chance of getting a same day service is fairly remote, actually. So, but they'll work on it sooner or later. So anyway, the reason I'm recording a podcast tonight, I have noticed, and I've probably talked about this in the past a little bit in regards to Facebook, but I've noticed that, especially on Facebook, there are different people that are sort of attacking, Of course, I've posted a lot of Donald, if you follow me on Facebook, I've posted a lot of Donald Trump stuff. And the thing with Donald Trump, it seems to, the people, there's been a number of people that have kind of attacked, more or less attacked me. And they'll say, well, I thought you were smarter than that. Why do you like that guy? And, so on and so forth. And what I'm noticing is that oftentimes, and not always, there's been some exceptions to it, but oftentimes people are attacking, they're making personal attacks on me as if somehow that's going to change my mind, or I don't know what it is. But then in talking to friends, there, of course, friends aren't making personal attacks, but at the same time, you know, I've got this one friend that said, well, you know, the people that are, people that are voting for, you know, that are for Donald Trump, why, they must be the dumbest people in the world, and he's going to lose, if he becomes a nominee, he's going to lose to Hillary, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I could tell this guy was getting really emotional about it. And you know, and of course this guy's, you know, he's really conservative and what have you. So I don't, you know, it's kind of a strange thing that's happening. The people on, you know, that are, and I don't know what percentage that make up the Republican Party that are kind of the angry, you know, and, you know, sort of the angry right, you know, because you have the angry left, you know, and there's lots of those. But you have the angry, rabidly angry left, and then there is such a thing as an angry right. And if you, the thing is, if you go far enough either way, you go in a circle. And, you know, they kind of meet, you know, if they're resentful enough, if they're bitter enough, then they can kind of end up meeting, and, you know, they go in a full circle. But the thing that they have in common, of course, is the resentment. And the resentment makes it impossible for them to really be reasonable. And it causes, it causes them, you know, because the resentment happens, and then after the resentment, you know, I don't know that that's really, you could argue, well, is that really an emotion, or is it, it's almost more like a charge, you know, like a, and like a negative electrical charge in a sense. It's just, you know, but it immediately precedes or comes before the emotion. And of course, then they use the emotion to sort of back up the position. And you know, then it becomes, it's always someone else's fault, someone else is wrong, somehow someone else is wrong, it's not my fault, it's someone else's fault, that person over there is worse than I am, and it, resentment ends up leading, always ends up leading in that direction, whether it doesn't necessarily have to do with politics, but it can do with anything, any kind of behavior. Resentment literally blinds you, whether you want to believe me or not. Resentment literally blinds you from seeing yourself objectively, seeing your own position objectively. It destroys your objectivity, and it can make you end up seeing the world backwards. Right becomes wrong, wrong becomes right, and even if you can partially see what is right, you can still see what is right and wrong, it ruins the intent. So let's say for a good example of this would be the parent, you know, you have parents in a supermarket checkout line, and the kid, you know, is trying to grab this and grab that, you know, while the parent's trying to check out, waiting to check the groceries out, or they're busy in the process of making the transaction, and the kid's trying to grab this and grab that, and so then the parent reacts resentfully. Typically, they'll, you know, because they've got the resentment, they resent the kid, and they react resentfully, and then maybe slap the child, or, you know, of course they don't do that these days so much, but they may grab them and, you know, resentfully kind of holler at them or whatever, and, you know, kind of resentfully shock them, and all the kid sees is the resentment. You know, the kid doesn't end up seeing the correction. The kid just sees the resentment, and then the resentment that the kid sees in the parent justifies his or her own resentment towards the parent. You know, because they see this unjust parent, because they couldn't really put this into words, but what the kid really needs is the parent to not have resentment, but to correct them, to be strong and say, no, put down the whatever it is, you don't, you know, we're not going to buy that, you don't need that, put that down. but do it in such a way that they're not shocking them with resentment. And then the kid may, you know, still throw his or her temper tantrum or what have you, but then later on, because there's no resentment in the parent, then they're much more likely to end up seeing their own resentment and kind of realizing that's not reasonable, and then they kind of end up, you know, yeah, Dad, yeah, Mom, you were right, that type of thing, and then they end up seeing, you know, that the parent was really just disciplining them, and that's really what they need as a child, and that's, you know, they can't put it into words, but that's really what they're testing for. And when they find resentment in the parent, you know, the parent disciplines them resentfully, then their own resentment ends up being justified, and so then they hate their parents. And 99.999999% of people hate their parents. The parents failed them somehow. The parents were unjust in some way. And then that justifies in their own mind, that justifies their own resentment, their own hatred of their parents. And then, of course, but the downside of that is that they end up kind of carrying on. You know, whenever they become parents, then they're just kind of carrying on in the same tradition that their parents did. They resented their parents, and then the next generation resents the parents, and so on and so forth. And nothing ever really gets solved. And so you end up, you know, it's... The Bible calls it the worm that dieth not. It goes, that's how evil is able to sort of make a home, you know, that's already in one generation, and it keeps transmitting very efficiently to the next generation. So, it's, you know, holding on to resentment is a problem. And whether you want to believe that you have it, or sometimes people will admit that they have resentment, but then they think somehow they're going to turn it into something positive. And you can't. You can't turn resentment into something positive. It's always a negative. And even if you keep it, you know, you keep it bottled up, and you have a smiling face and you keep it bottled up, well, it's, you're still going to end up... with problems, because it turns into medical problems, and it turns into problems being able to relate to other people. It turns into all kinds of, you know, a myriad of different diseases. So it's not a good thing to hold on to resentment. It's a very, very bad thing. That's how the wrong spirit. That's how evil ends up retaining control of you. And then, of course, you think, well, I have my own thoughts, and, you know, I'm going to do what I want, and I have my own thoughts, and you're simply programmed. The more, you know, when you have resentment, you end up being easily externally controlled, whether you like it or not. And then you twist things around in your own mind so that you've justified your behavior, and you refuse to see, even though people around you can see that you're externally controlled, you end up not seeing it. Somehow you're able to not see it happening in yourself, but even if you can see it happening in other people. But I'm noticing that there's a percentage of people that are getting very emotional in regards to Donald Trump, you know, just to the point where, and you see it, the people that are running the Republican Party are toying with the idea of just completely blowing the party up, and they're going to have a third candidate, which would end up, or, you know, like a third party thing, which would end up destroying any chance of, you know, just so they can destroy any chance of any Republican winning or any conservative. And then who's going to win? Of course, then Hillary's going to win. And, you know, and then there's going to be several more Supreme Court justices, complete wipeout. All because somebody didn't get their way. So, but it's very interesting observing people, observing their behavior, observing their emotion, observing their resentment, observing what goes on. And of course, as people get older and they continue to harbor resentment, it ends up often... times, most of the time, it ends up manifesting in all kinds of different diseases, and then of course they got to go to the doctor, and the doctor ends up trying to help them compensate for the diseases, puts them on all kinds of different prescriptions for this and prescriptions for that, and they've got this pain and they've got that pain and they've got this malady and that malady, and and yet they're still bitter and they still have their resentment. So it's a vicious cycle. So, but personally, I'm very optimistic. I'm optimistic. Having gone to that Trump rally a week ago Saturday, it would have been a week ago when I was at home, there in Bentonville, Arkansas, and witnessing all those thousands of people showing up. And since then, I've watched, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube of Donald Trump at these Donald Trump rallies. And it's remarkable what's happening. Nothing like this has ever happened. I don't believe anything like this has ever happened in this country politically. With so many thousands of people showing up for these rallies. And so that gives me a lot of optimism about, you know, even though there's all these bad things that go on and how rotten people have been raising their kids for so many generations, et cetera, I still, these people at these Trump rallies are basically, they're, from what I saw, they're salt of the earth people. There are people that have jobs. There are people that own businesses. There are people that are making the country work, like Rush Limbaugh likes to say. These are the people that are doing it. And these people are finally standing up. We've wanted them to do this for, you know, we've wanted this to happen for a long time, and somehow it just hasn't. You know, it's like I've said for a long time, we need to have a moral revival. You know, how do you make something like that happen? Can you program something like that to happen? You can't. You can't make that happen. It's got to happen. These kind of things, a mass movement like this, has to happen spontaneously. It's not Donald Trump that's making this happen. He's kind of there at the right place at the right time, but he is not what's making this happen. And what the Republican Party, the people that run it, the so-called elites, are, what they're really mad about is not Donald Trump, per se, or even Ted Cruz. What they're really mad about is all of the people that they think that are the Republican base that they've just been kind of ignoring and burying under the sand and lying to all these years. Those people aren't taking it anymore. We see what's happened. And, you know, if it's like there was this one Rush Limbaugh caller, and I quit listening to Rush Limbaugh a few years ago, not because I still like him, but I just couldn't take all the negative news all the time. That's why I stopped listening. But I still get the Rush Limbaugh email every day, and so sometimes there's a link in there, and I'll click on it. And so there was a transcript a couple of days ago of people calling after Mitt Romney made his speech, you know, bashing Donald Trump. And this one caller said, "Well, we're using Donald Trump to either take over the Republican Party or blow it up. And I've said for some time now that the Republican Party, as it's currently constituted, needs to go away. It needs to, it either needs to be completely rebuilt and taken over, or it needs to go the way of the Whig Party, and something else would replace it. So, because it's just totally, it's been totally compromised. The people that have been running it for quite a few years now have just ran, you know, they've ran the country into the ground. And they've just, you know, they're namby-pamby, don't rock the boat. We like to spend money too. Corruption everywhere. And that is coming to an end. People are no longer putting up with that. People see through it. And every time the people running the Republican Party have tried to sabotage Donald Trump, it ends up backfiring, and I think that's going to continue. So I'm very optimistic about the future of the country than I have been in a long time. The reason being is that there's really a lot of good people left in the country. You know, maybe we do have a lot of problems. We have lots of moral problems, but at the same time, there are many, many millions of people that are still decent people, and they go to work every day, and so et cetera, et cetera. And those people, the people that go to work every day, and they're you know, these, you know, people that do the right thing, they're, you know, that want to do the right thing. Those people are what make the country, you know, make up the bulk of the country. That's what makes the country continue to work, you know, and that's the reason it continues to struggle on. And so that no man is an island, you know, or just generically, or you could say no woman is an island, but no person, no human being is an island. We need each other. You know, you could try to live your life like I guess there's some reality shows that I've never watched where you have the people in Alaska and it shows them in the summertime, they're chopping the wood and trying to prepare their food for the wintertime or whatever, so that they can survive the really brutal winters in Alaska. And so, but they're working all the time just to survive. You know, and all of their time is taken up just trying to stay, you know, make it possible to keep eating and stay warm. And if you begin to put a division of labor into the mix, then, you know, maybe I'm good at one thing, you're good at something else, and some other person's good at whatever. And we're the beauty of the division, the idea of division of labor, is that I can do what I'm good at, you can do what you're good at, this other person over there can do what they're good at, and then we're all able to really be efficient at what we do best, each one of us does best, and therefore we all end up with a benefit of everyone's specialized labor, their specialized goods and services. So that, you know, you have millions and millions of and millions of Americans, you know, doing that every day. There really is hope for the future. So, you know, and the people that, you know, dislike Donald Trump, you know, you're free to do that if you want to. I don't, you know, you can do that all day long, but I'm afraid that some of those people, even after, you know, let's say Donald Trump becomes president, you know, and there's going to be people that their heads are going to be spinning like the, remember Linda Blair in The Exorcist, she was a little girl then that played the part of the possessed little girl, and they had her head spinning around 360 degrees. You're going to have some people that are going to be trying to imitate that. It's really going to be a shock to a lot of people. But let's say Donald Trump becomes president and he starts to be successful as president. And I believe he will be. I really do. The man is competent. He knows what he's doing. And I think he will be successful. And you're going to have people that are just... They're going to have a terrible time being able to admit that he's successful as president. So, you saw how people, I remember how people reacted to Ronald Reagan. Well, it's much, we've gone much, it's gotten much worse since then as a society. And to be kind of dragged back to semblance of sanity, at this point, is really painful for a lot of people that have continued to deteriorate morally since the Reagan years. And then, of course, you've had people that were born after that don't have a clue. They've been spoiled all of their lives, etc., etc. And so they're in for. There's a lot of people that are in for a gigantic shock. But it's going to be very interesting. But it's going to take a shock. It's going to, if we want a real moral revolution, it's going to happen spontaneously. And there are going to be people that are not going to like it, but they're not going to be able to do much about it. Can't do anything about it, really. It's just going to happen, and it is going to take a shock. If you look at people individually that let's say they're alcoholics or they're drug addicts and they have to end up in the gutter, either literally or figuratively. And then, some of them, there's no place else to go. They've tried everything and they're in the gutter and they start thinking rationally. Then you have other people that they prefer to just die in the gutter. But there's a percentage of people that can recover from it. And that's what's happening. I believe that's what's happening, and that's what it's going to take. But this movement behind Trump is spontaneous. It's not anything that anybody programmed. And it's a remarkable thing that is happening right now, right in front of us. So, excuse me. Anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. By the way, there another point about the people running the Republican Party. If they really wanted, if they really didn't want Donald Trump, and that's what they're focusing all their, they've been focusing all their energy on, try to get rid of Trump. And they've been doing that for months now. If it was just Trump, then they would coalesce behind Ted Cruz because he's the other candidate that most people would find acceptable. And are they coalescing behind Ted Cruz? No. No, they want to put in whoever their puppet is. And these are the same people that have given us Bob Dole. These are the same people that gave us Mitt Romney. These are the same people that gave us John McCain. These are the same people that gave us George W. Bush. And then George Bush Sr. And, they don't want Ted Cruz either. So what they're really mad at, like I said before, they're really mad at the American people. How dare we think that we're actually in charge of our destiny? How dare we think that we know what's best for the country? They're really in complete denial still. That their power is slipping away. It's slipped away. It's gone, in fact. And they're grasping at straws. And everything that they do to try to get their power back is simply making it worse. So, anyway, I wanted to just kind of talk about that a little bit and kind of get that off my chest. And so at the same time, I'm not talking too much about politics, you know, with people. I mean, I hear people, you know, constantly in truck stops. They're talking about, I hear a few little political discussions. And, of course, I'm not participating in those. Occasionally, if I'm talking one-on-one with somebody, I don't really get into the political stuff. But I will talk about morals and, you know, how the morals have declined and that type of thing. And most people will agree with me. The vast majority, you know, I don't even know which candidate they're for. But many of them will agree with me about, you know, the moral problem. And that really is the root of our problem. But and it can't be solved politically. As I've often said before, you can't solve it moral problems politically, but you can, you know, it can happen. Moral revivals, we've had moral revivals in the past that have kind of spontaneously occurred. It's happened twice before, at least in the history of the United States, it's happened twice. And it's happening. I believe it's happening again, or it's in the process of happening again. It's not something that's going to happen instantly, but I think it's in the process of happening, and I might be wrong, but I think something is happening out there, and a shock to the system can, you know, it is probably going to end up being part of it. And it, in fact, I'd say it has to be part of it. We can't keep going along and just, living our little soft lives and somehow we, you know, we're gonna not improve morally. You know, we can just keep on just becoming worse and worse and worse from a moral standpoint while we're, going along with our soft, cushy lives. And when I say morals, I know there's people that kind of react negatively to that. And then, you know, and then the problem with morals is that people can pretend to be moral when they're really not. But morals are certainly a part of it, because if you engage in really bad behavior, then you have a tendency to want to protect that behavior. But it really comes down to what, you know, on an individual level, what is evil in charge of you? You know, which spirit is actually running you as a human being? Is, you know, there's only two choices. There are really only two choices, and in order, you know, to even have a chance at facing, finding the right, you know, spirit, you know, being in charge, you have to face reality. You have to want to face reality. And one of the things that can make you want to face reality, one of the only things is suffering. You have to, you know, if you suffer enough, then some people, as I say, you know, you end up in the gutter, either literally or figuratively. Then that can cause you to begin to face reality. So, but as I say, I'm really optimistic about what I see happening out there. And it's not about Donald Trump. You know, you may not like Donald Trump. You may think he's abrasive or whatever it is. But it's not about Donald Trump. What is happening? I think the reason that people like Donald Trump more than they like Ted Cruz is that Donald Trump knows how to handle the media, and somebody hits him, and he hits back twice. You know, he hits back harder. He doesn't let it you know, somebody just run all over him and then just kind of stand there and try to be the better person or whatever, because it doesn't work that way. You got to, if a bully hits you, you got to hit back. You know, you don't do it resentfully. That's where you make your mistake. But somebody does something, you know, maybe you hit them, maybe you don't, but you've got to, maybe you have to hit them back. And if you do, you hit back harder. So, and he does that. And I think that's what a lot of people like about him. So, in any case, it's very, very interesting to watch. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great weekend so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.